Welcome to the Happy, Healthy, Strong podcast. Our goal is to equip you with the knowledge and tools you need to make lasting changes in your health. Society has trained us to think that Western medicine is the answer to long-term health, but this approach only treats symptoms and never addresses the root cause. Without a new approach, our community will experience unnecessary sickness and suffering. We teach the functional health model to educate and empower listeners on their journey to a happier, healthier, and stronger life. My name is Paige, and I'm a certified holistic health coach. I'm joined by my co-host, Dr. Alex Arguello, doctor of chiropractic and functional health practitioner. Join us as we unpack some of the most pressing health challenges facing our community today. Welcome back to the Happy, Healthy, Strong podcast. It has been a little while. We took an unofficial break.
Yeah.
But we're excited to be back, and we're just going to keep on talking through the Restoring Human Diet. So today we're going to dive into green leafy vegetables. Do you love them? Do you hate them? We'll see.
Right. Yeah, it has been a while. I think both of us, we just have things that are going on and make it difficult sometimes. And so for me, this is something that I absolutely want to be doing. I see it as an important thing, and we see that there's a need for it. And that's typically how I decide if something is important. If I have something to offer and there's a need, then I want to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. So the challenge thing that we did, that was kind of helped me to see that there was a need. But at the same time, there were just other things that also were showing me that there's a need.
Yeah.
So it became difficult. But we want to continue doing this. We want to continue blessing people with this information, but hearing from people about what they're getting from it is also helpful. So
absolutely. And then you kind of in the off time also at the gym did like a men's cohort thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of also can just tie into like all the stuff that we talk about here and realizing the importance. We kind of took, or you guys kind of took that to like the larger church body, mm-hmm. to realize kind of the need for like just educating the average Joe on some of these health topics.
Yep. Yeah. And that cohort was more about, you know, why should we be doing these things, right? We hit on some of that in our podcast, but we're talking about kind of what people should be doing. We're continuing that cohort still. Like we got back into it this morning, here at 5 a.m. talking about why we should focus on our physical health. So that's just one of the things that came into it. But I think what we're doing here continues to be important. But when you're doing things like this, like I was saying, hearing from people is kind of what keeps you going.
Totally.
And for me, the other thing is we're doing this also because we wanted a resource for health coaching clients to be able to go to and answer some questions that they have, just continue to be informed. And that's also something that I feel like has just been getting more and more health coaching client applications, people sent in wanting help. So we're still doing the work.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely. Yep. The work needs to be done, and we're still doing the work.
Absolutely.
So, on that note, keep sharing. And if you find this valuable, let us know. That's definitely encouraging for us. And we hope that you guys are enjoying this content. So, with that, I mean, do you want to do a workout recap? It is Saturday morning.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't participate.
Yeah.
So my husband did.
So we kind of got two different groups going at the gym. One was just, hey, let's meet together, kind of talk about why it's important to focus on health. And then we have another group who was doing, this time of year is when the CrossFit Games season starts. So there's something called the Open, Worldwide Open, where, you know, over 300,000 some people all compete with the same workout. So there's three consecutive workouts over the course of 3 weeks that people do all across the world. So we had a group doing that together, and then we pick teams and compete. So we've been doing that on Saturday mornings as well. So one of the things that Jarek, my partner at the gym, and I realized was people struggle with the Olympic lifts. So what's called a snatch and a clean and jerk. So we just said, hey, let's just do a seminar on both of those things to start teaching people how to proper technique so that they can, you know, more safely do the lifts, but also it's just good to have good technique. So we did that 2 weeks ago. We worked on the snatch. This week we worked on clean and jerks. There wasn't really much of a workout. It was just mostly technique. And mm-hmm. then we tried to do a heavy lift. So that's what we did this morning.
Cool.
So you missed, but you didn't necessarily miss getting your heart rate up. And
yeah, well,
you can go do that later.
Probably won't. It's okay.
Yeah. So that brings us to this week. We're continuing with this Restoring Human Diet. We already talked about fatty fruits in terms of the plant list. Now we're going to, if you are familiar with the Restoring Human Diet, we're talking about leaves, or if you have no idea what the Restoring Human Diet is, this category would be like green leafy vegetables. So yeah, talking about why we should eat them, why you don't have to avoid them, despite what you may be, if you listen to stuff out in the social media world on health. There's a big camp out there now that talks about how you shouldn't eat any plants and you should only eat animal products. And if you're going to eat a plant, it should only be a fruit. So things like green leafy vegetables, spinach, kale, all those things are unhealthy for you. And I understand their arguments, and I probably would be somewhat in alignment with what they're saying, at least the reasons why you maybe should avoid these things. But if I look beyond just maybe the last, at least since I've been paying attention the last 4 or 5 years, anybody that has any expertise in nutrition talks about the importance of green leafy vegetables. And it's only a short time period where people are actually at least being louder about potential dangers of having green leafy vegetables. So I am still in the camp that you should be eating green leafy vegetables. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about why. So I just have kind of a list of what those are. And I'm going to talk about, again, so what defines whether we should be eating something or not is what are the nutrients inside those foods, right? So we keep talking about how liver organ meats are the healthiest foods there are. Why? Is because they're nutrient dense. They just have a ton of nutrition in them. Macronutrients, micronutrients. If you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, macronutrients, fat, proteins, carbohydrates, micronutrients would be your vitamins and minerals. So something like liver is packed full of those nutrients. So that's why it would be a healthy food, regardless of how it tastes.
There's plenty of ways to sneak it in, regardless as we've talked about. Yep.
So same thing with green leafy vegetables. They are a very nutrient dense food, meaning they have a ton of nutrients in them. But the other thing about green leafy vegetables is they're very low in calories,
right?
Caloric value. Meaning if I eat something like a green leafy vegetable, I'm not taking up a ton of my calorie intake that I would need for the day, but I'm also nourishing my body. Mm-hmm. A good deal there. So that's why the green leafy vegetables are important. So here's just a list of them. So something like arugula, collards, even something like iceberg lettuce, kale, turnip greens, mustard greens, romaine lettuce, spinach, Swiss chards. Those are kind of the big green leafy vegetables that you would want to have in your diet. So arugula, talking about micronutrients primarily, because these are carbohydrates. Or you're not going to get, don't eat arugula if you want protein.
Right.
Don't eat these green leafy vegetables if you are trying to get fat out of them. These are carbohydrates. But again, you're not necessarily eating them to get the carbohydrate. You're eating them because it's a carbohydrate and the micronutrients are there. So here's a micronutrient setter in something like arugula. Vitamin A, C, E, and K. There's folate. There's calcium. There is phosphorus, magnesium, potassium, choline, and fiber in arugula. Collards, vitamin A, B6, vitamin C, vitamin E, vitamin K, folate, choline, magnesium, potassium, calcium, fiber. Even iceberg lettuce, vitamin A, C, E, and K, iron, folate, choline, magnesium, manganese, phosphorus, calcium, fiber. So I can go through that whole list of those green leafy vegetables, and they're just packed full of all of these nutrients. So we need micronutrients to survive. But we also need them to thrive, right? The more we are sufficient in micronutrients, the better our body functions. If we're deficient in some of those things, I'm sure, you know, people understand if you are deficient in something like iron, everybody is familiar with anemia, right?
Yeah.
They probably don't know how dangerous that actually can be, but they know anemia is bad. Well, that's just a deficiency in one of the micronutrients, right? It's a deficiency in iron. So all of the micronutrients, you know, I just listed off a few. If there's a deficiency in those things, there's going to be problems. There's going to be health problems, right? So we want to be sufficient in all of those things. One of the best ways to get those is through these green leafy vegetables. Because again, you can get them in high amounts and not a high amount of calories, right?
Yeah.
So just a great, great way of getting these nutrients in your diet.
So one of the things that I feel like the animal-based people talk about is like the bioavailability of the nutrients and mm-hmm. how like the plant, they may have all these things, but your body doesn't necessarily absorb all of these things. Mm-hmm. So is that just like case by case, depending on how healthy your gut is, or is that kind of, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So one of the claims by the whole animal-based camp is that these, yes, I think they would agree that, and I got to be honest here, I'm familiar with their arguments, but to me, when something is, I don't want, maybe extreme is the nicest way to say it, I tend to just not listen to what they're saying. So again, here's the thing. I believe God created the world and everything in it.
Yes.
Right? So I would be a creationist. I would not be an evolutionist. I don't know one animal-based person who's not an evolutionist.
Mm, yeah, so true.
So for me, I'm like, okay, if you're so wrong on one thing, I'm not really going to listen to other things that you're saying. And I know right. I'm not wooden on that, right? There's definitely people that I disagree with that I highly value things that they say and other stuff. But when it comes to this, that's a huge part of why you think something is healthy or not, right? Because if God created everything in the world, he also created things for our bodies to eat. And he specifically says, actually, in the Bible that I'm giving you these plants to eat.
Well, in the like Garden of Eden was originally, like they weren't meant to kill animals right off the get-go, right?
They didn't eat meat until, Genesis 9. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's really hard for me to say that we're supposed to only eat animal products.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Now, a lot of those guys have kind of recanted their, legalism with animal products, and they've went to, well, you can eat animal products and fruit, mm-hmm. right? So now they're getting more into alignment. But what they say is that plants, they're trying to survive just like we are. They're trying to propagate just like we are. So they have these, what are called anti-nutrients or plant toxins in them. And we've talked about this a little before, right? Yeah. With lectins and things like that. They have these plant toxins in them so that when they don't want you to eat them, because if you ate them in a certain time, then they wouldn't be able to reproduce and propagate. So they say they release these plant toxins, and then when human beings eat them, then that's going to negatively affect us because of all the plant toxins that we take in. So again, I understand that argument, but again, people have been eating plants for thousands of years.
Right.
And we're still here. Yeah. And when you compare people who have been eating plants for thousands of years, they are a lot healthier than we are now, who are eating, a bunch of highly processed stuff. So just even that comparison, are you going to eat green leafy vegetables or McDonald's? Eat the green leafy vegetables, right?
For sure.
But then also when you look at what are called blue zones, people in this short time period that we know of, that we can go and visit these people and see how healthy they are. And this isn't across the board, but a lot of the people that are the civilizations that are living to 100 years old, that don't have signs of heart disease, cancer, those type of things, they have these green leafy vegetables in their diet. They're not eating just animal products and fruit.
It's not like completely wreaking havoc on their bodies.
No. So yes, can there be plant toxins in, so I said that there's all these micronutrients in these foods. Are there also plant toxins? Yes, but I think the nutrient content in them outweighs. Now, is there something to those plant toxins keeping your body from being able to absorb those nutrients? There might be something to that, but I also think that is about your, I think, did you mention microbiome?
Is that, or yeah, just kind I, of, I yeah, asked so, gut health.
Yeah, gut health. If your microbiome is set up to only ingest animal products and fruit, then that's potentially what's going to keep your gut healthy in terms of that's what your microbiome makeup is going to be. So then when you eat a green leafy vegetable, that microbiome is not set up to eat those things. So then you might have symptoms of a problem. Mm-hmm. That doesn't necessarily mean you're not supposed to eat that thing. It just means that's what your microbiome or that's where your gut health is at mm-hmm. to be able to take those things in. So if you're eating those things, then your gut tends to adapt and got now it. Become something that can take those things in. I would say the bioavailability thing is there's probably something to it, but I think it probably has a lot more to do with your body and how it can absorb those nutrients and how it can deal with those toxins as opposed to should we eat it or should we not eat it.
Got it. Okay. That makes sense.
Makes sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So kind of the next thing that is big with these green leafy vegetables is they have something called chlorophyll in them. I'm sure everybody's heard of chlorophyll. It's kind of what makes the plant green. But chlorophyll is an antioxidant. It's anti-inflammatory, cleanses the skin, improves energy production, supports liver, kidney health, improves body odor. There you go. eliminates bad breath, all of these type of things. But probably the biggest thing that it does is they've, in research, they've shown that it purifies the blood. So because we're in an industrialized society, there's toxins everywhere, right? Those toxins get inside of our bloodstream and toxify our bloodstream. So chlorophyll can actually purify the blood, get rid of some of those toxins. And why it can do that is if you look at the chemical structure of the red blood cell, of what's called hemoglobin, which is the protein that's inside your red blood cell or your bloodstream, it's the exact same chemical makeup as chlorophyll. So a lot of people call chlorophyll plant blood. So our hemoglobin, human blood, chlorophyll is plant blood. The only difference is there's iron in our chemical structure in our blood, and there's magnesium in the chlorophyll. So the only difference is one micronutrient. And it's another reason why if you're deficient in magnesium, which a lot of people are, eating plants, eating green leafy vegetables that are high in chlorophyll means they're high in magnesium, and that can keep you from getting deficient in magnesium.
Yeah.
So kind of what happens is you plant this chlorophyll, the plant blood kind of comes into our own human blood and can kind of just clear out a lot of the bad things and replace it. It has all the things that are necessary to recreate the good, healthy red blood cells.
That's cool.
So yeah, huge, huge thing there. And then the other thing that's just kind of, I think is always funny when people are like, there's no way that you could, nourish your body with green leafy vegetables. If we look at other, animals, specifically mammals, that's all they eat and they thrive, right? And I know there's some differences about how they can break down the food, that, you know, their teeth structure, their digestive tract, all of that type of stuff. But cows, elk, moose, deer, giraffes, gorillas, elephants, and horses primarily are eating green leafy vegetables.
Yeah.
Right? So there's all these plant toxins, like plants don't know, oh, this is an elephant that's about to eat me, I shouldn't put out the plant toxins, or this is a human that's about to eat me, I should put out the plant toxins, right?
Yeah.
So to me, that also kind of tears down that argument a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Why aren't all the gorillas dead if these plant toxins are so unhealthy
are
and dominant, yeah, right? Now, again, some of that probably does have to do with their ability to break it down, mm-hmm, right? So they are getting a lot of nutrition out of them and not the negative effects aren't happening with the plant toxins, but there's really not much different about us that would cause us to not be able to survive and thrive off of these green leafy vegetables in comparison to those other animals.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's sufficient in terms of why you should be eating them. The how is a different story. There's plenty of ways to do these things. Obviously, a salad is the easiest way, right?
Yeah.
Spinach salad. I'm not a super fan of kale. That would be kind of in the category of liver for me in terms of just taste. I just am not a big fan of it. I eat it. My wife loves it, so she makes it.
Good
so I'll eat
her.
It when she. But there's the other. So salad's a big thing. And you don't just have to have iceberg lettuce salad, right? Or you don't have to have just spinach salad. You can mix in a bunch of these different greens in a salad. But also something like a smoothie. Green smoothies are another great way of getting this in your diet. For me, spinach typically either comes in a smoothie, occasionally a salad, but I'll just mix it with eggs, make like a spinach, whatever else I'm having in an omelet. I'll just make sure there's some spinach in there. So
right, might as well just throw it in. Can barely taste
it. Those are our ways of getting those type of greens. I think we've said this about plants, and we've already been talking about microbiome. One of the significant things that we need to do in order to have a healthy microbiome, if we're going to be eating plants, is you have to have a wide variety of plants. That just increases the variety of gut bacteria, gut microbes that are in your microbiome. So we're saying eat green leafy vegetables. If you're like, okay, I'm going to do that, but all I can do is eat spinach. Like we've gotten to one level, right? You're there, but taking a step to saying, okay, I'm not just going to only eat spinach. I am going to try to get, you know, greens. I'm going to try to get chard. I'm going to try to get these other, you know, romaine lettuce, whatever it is. Try to get a variety of these green leafy vegetables.
Yeah, it's all beneficial for your gut.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So having different ways of doing that, right? Like we mentioned, the mixing it in an omelet, putting in a smoothie, having salads, of course. Mm-hmm. You can saute these
things. That's what I was thinking. Saute it in like butter, and then you're getting a healthy fat as well.
Thank you for that reminder. So one of the, so I mentioned magnesium deficiency being huge. Another huge deficiency, especially with women, is something called folate. Mm. So most people know about folic acid, right? They know if they're pregnant, they should make sure they have folic acid. Mm-hmm. That is actually not wise to do that. So folic acid, you can think of as like the synthetic version of folate. Folate is really what is needed. You can do studies that say, hey, women who are deficient in folate, if they take folic acid, there's less, you know, birth defects, neural tube defects, those type of cleft palate, cleft lip, those type of things can happen with neural tube defects. So have, that's a folic acid deficiency, but it's actually a folate deficiency, not a folic acid deficiency. So eating things with folate in them is going to be much better than just taking something like a folic acid, because folic acid can also be problematic for a lot of women. You know, morning sickness and these type of things can be just due to you're taking in too much folic acid and not enough folate. I've already mentioned those ones that have folate in them. That's actually one of the best ways to get folate is through green leafy vegetables, but it's also absorbed much better when you have fat with it. Mm. So if you're going to have a salad, and I don't know that anybody would do this, but instead of eating it with no dressing, or because you're like, all the dressings have, you know, a bunch of bad stuff in them, which is true.
Yeah.
Make sure there's some olive oil, right? Avocado oil, however you're going to do that.
Yeah.
Because that fat helps you to absorb that folate better.
That's,
or instead of just eating greens, mixing them with butter, mm-hmm. right? Mixing them with coconut oil, something like that. Those fats are going to be able to allow you to absorb that folate much better.
And it tastes much better.
And it tastes way better.
For sure.
You're right. Yeah. So yeah, that is the, we didn't mention juicing. So we mentioned smoothies, but mm-hmm. you can also juice these things if you have the patience for that.
I enjoy juicing. Would be probably my favorite way to get these things. I have a pretty fancy one. I got it a couple years ago, and yeah, you just throw like one apple in and then a whole bag of spinach, and you get, it's pretty good.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
So what should be the like goal amount? Do we need to be eating these things daily, like a couple times a week, you know, one serving, how much?
Yeah. I mean, ideally, I think they would be part of your daily food intake at some point. But if you're not doing that, then just set a goal of, hey, I need to start eating more of these things. So yeah, just a few times a week. You know, I know people that it's helpful for them to just say, okay, this is my breakfast. I'm going to have some sort of protein, or I'm going to have a smoothie or something like that. I'm always having a salad for lunch. You know, this is people that can do more planning and preparation stuff. And then I'm going to have a meat with some vegetable or some starch in the evening. Thinking like that is always a good way of setting up your meal. So that way you don't even have to think, oh, I need to get some green leafy vegetables in. If you just know you're having a salad, whatever, three times a week, then you're taking care of that particular thing. If you're having a smoothie three times a week throughout the week, then you're taking care of this thing. But yeah, ideally it would be part of your diet in a way that you're getting it. You're finding a way to getting in it on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just making it routine, throw it in somehow.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. One of our most common ones too is the like making egg bakes and just throwing mm-hmm. spinach in there. And it's crazy how much you can get in there when it cooks down, and you can like put a whole bag in, you know, an egg bake.
I will tell you, this is just kind of a story. Kale, there's a bunch of different versions of kale, right? Especially going on a farmer's market, mm-hmm. people make different versions of kale. And it can look very similar to mustard greens.
Mm.
So one time we wanted to make this big kale smoothie, and it wasn't a smoothie. It was just like a green drink. Mm-hmm. Just put a bunch of greens in with water to drink it just to try to get a bunch of nutrients in. And I put mustard greens in instead of kale. And it's just
bitter.
Super hot, spicy. You're just drinking down, you know, like hot sauce. And I, again, just chugging it because it's just liquid.
Don't do that.
That's funny.
Yeah. Make sure you're doing kale if you're going to do the smoothie.
Hey, you got some variety there.
That's right. Yep. Cool. And I guess we should say, you know, when you're juicing, when you're doing even like a green drink, you're getting rid of that fiber. So we mentioned all of those micronutrients. Fiber was one of those things that was on that list. Mm-hmm. You're getting rid of that fiber if you're juicing, which True. Isn't a huge problem. But if fiber is a need for you, then if that's how you get your fiber, then just be thinking through that as well.
Yeah, got it. Yep. Okay.
All right.
Okay. Well, if you guys have more ideas or fun ways that you get in these veggies, then let us know. Especially, you know, if you have kids that are picky and you have any great ideas for me, please let me know.
Yeah.
But yeah, we are excited to be back, and we'll talk to you next time.